We gotta get out more. We gotta get out of the cramped spaces and the dark or twisted or negative or unloving or unsurrendered or hurried confines of our little minds and the often harsh realities or pseudo-realities of the online world, of the screen world, out into the real world, out into God's world, out into His kingdom. There's lots of memes floating around today. I'll say a little bit more about that as we go on to talk about gentleness. But there's one, some of you have asked me, when is this one going to be shown in this series for Become New as we look at how do we leverage all of the amazing gifts of technology and screens that are so wonderful so that it's serving us instead of our becoming the unthinking slaves of it. One of those memes shows two different pictures. The first one is some clunky old computer from like 20 years ago. And it says, 20 years ago, the internet was an escape from the real world. Today, the real world is an escape from the internet. And then you see somebody in, you know, these beautiful mountains with the clouds, and they have gotten away. They have gotten out. They have gotten into the real world. Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and we're looking at those as a contrast to the way that we might be deformed otherwise. And the word for today is gentle. And in particular, I want to offer you a phrase. I want you to think about this. I want to think about this as I think about talking to God, and I think about prayer, and I think about gentleness and its contrast, harshness. And I think about that in my own life with God, who God is, as well as offering gentleness to other people. The phrase that I want to give today, that I want to focus on for a couple of minutes, comes from our buddy Steve Cuss, who I interviewed quite recently. Steve is working on a project and was here at our place with a few other friends. And at a break at one point, we were talking about King Charles. I don't remember how the topic came up. And I mentioned that years ago at an event in England around creation care, Nancy and I met him, and Nancy actually curtsied. And Steve is quite familiar with protocol of talking to the king, and he was discussing that. And he mentioned something I don't remember. They might have told us this. I don't remember. But he said, one of the rules when you're talking with the king is this. The king always gets the first word, and the king always gets the last word. So if you get an audience with the king, so this will help you now in case that's going to happen for you. If you get an audience with the king, you don't go in there and say, hey, Chuck, I'm concerned about this, or Chuck, I heard a really good story. No, no, no. You approach and you allow the king to begin talking about whatever the king wants to talk about. And then when it's done, you don't say, well, king, I got a lot to do. I want to respect your time. So, no, 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 no. That talk is over when the king says it's over. The king gets the first word. The king gets the last word. And of course, that makes me think about our great king, King Jesus, whom we are told came into Jerusalem in the Gospel of Matthew on Palm Sunday, riding on a donkey, gentle. And then I wanted to read these words for you from Dane Ortlund's book. Dane says, my dad pointed out to me something that Charles Spurgeon had pointed out to him. In the four gospel accounts given to us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, 89 chapters of the biblical text, there is only one place where Jesus tells us about his own heart. We learn much in the four Gospels about Christ's teaching. We read of his birth, his ministry, his disciples. We're told of his travels and his prayer habits. We find lengthy speeches, repeated objections. But only in one place, perhaps the most wonderful words ever uttered by human lips, do we hear Jesus himself open up to us his very heart. Come to me, Matthew 11, verse 28, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In the one place in the Bible where the Son of God pulls back the veil and lets us peer way down into the core of who he is, we are not told he is austere and demanding in heart. We are not told he is exalted and dignified in heart. We're not even told that he is joyful and generous in heart. Letting Jesus set the terms, his surprising claim is that he is gentle and lowly in heart. The word gentle, Thayne goes on to write, occurs just three other times in the New Testament, the first in the Beatitude, the meek will inherit the earth, and that same little Greek word praus is used there, meek, or translated later on, gentle. And then when he's coming into Jerusalem, Jesus is not trigger happy, not harsh, not reactionary, not easily exasperated. He is the most understanding person in the universe. The posture most natural to Jesus is not a pointed finger, but open arms. And then lowly, Thayne goes on to write, and the book is called Gentle and Lowly. Lowly refers to the fact that Jesus is deeply accessible. Normally, we think of a person with great power, King Charles, not being a terribly accessible person, a little tough to get in to see him. In the ancient world, somebody who was lonely, somebody who did not have power, somebody who was poor, somebody who was living on the margins, you could access them quite easily. They were always available. They were always there. And that was Jesus. And that is Jesus. Come to me. I am gentle and lowly in heart. Thayne says, if Jesus was hosting a website under the About Me drop line, the first thing it would say is gentle and lowly. And so part of what we picture when we think about Jesus, when we think about God, is this gentle spirit that loves, that longs to connect with us. Thayne uses a little image that for a lot of us, we think about God approaching us, but kind of not wanting to. I have a little friend who is kind of fascinated by a slug or a snail on a little plant outside of where she lives. And often she'll talk about it and she'll say, it's my friend. But as she gets close to it, it's a classic approach avoidance moment. I want to touch it. No, I don't want to. I want to touch it. No, there's a kind of a cringe and a withdrawal. And a lot of times it's easy to think about God that way. And Jesus says, no. Don't think about me that way. The most natural posture for Jesus is not a pointed finger, but open arms. He is gentle towards us. Now, I'll say one other word about this because people get confused. Sometimes they think of gentleness as chronic mildness or meekness or avoiding a difficult situation. Jesus comes into Jerusalem like a gentle king riding on a donkey, and then he goes to the temple and he overthrows tables and gets out a whip and starts and then he goes after the scribes and the Pharisees. Woe to you, whitewashed sepulchers. So like, where's the gentleness in that? Paul, when he's writing to the church of Galatia, talking about gentleness as the fruit of the Spirit, Paul also talks about how he had to approach Peter and confront him to his face because Peter was kind of catering to the legalists. And then he writes about those who give into legalism, who replace the gospel of Jesus Christ, of the unconditional love of God, with these kind of rule-centered, externally focused things. I wish they would go all the way and emasculate themselves. And that's gentle. So it's real important as we think about gentleness to understand that in any given situation, we will always need to have wisdom, judgment, and discernment to know how do we respond in this moment. So part of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. My basic posture is to be joyful. But if I approach somebody today and say, how are you doing? And they say, well, I've lost my job. My car got impounded. I have no place to live. I just broke my leg. I don't respond by saying, I rejoice together with you. Our basic posture is one of joy because there is good news in this world. But Paul says when somebody is mourning, he doesn't say rejoice with those who mourn in his letter to the church in Rome. He says mourn with them. The general category here is don't be stupid. Our basic posture is to be the fruit of the Spirit, one of love and joy and peace and patience. But if there's an emergency and you got to get to the hospital and rush past everybody else, patience in at a red light is not a virtue at that moment. There's always the need for wisdom and judgment and discernment. That's why James says at the very beginning of his little letter, if anybody lacks wisdom, let them ask of God, who gives generously and without making anybody feel foolish or without finding fault. So today, let the king have the first word and the last word. It's important, if I understand gentleness right, it's not avoiding problems, it's not softness, it's not weakness. Really, gentleness kind of begins at home. My harsh inner critic, your harsh inner critic, is not a gentle voice. And so today, right now, as we go to God, as God is right here, the king gets the first word. And the first word is, you are my son, you are my daughter, I love you. And then today, right now, the king gets the last word. And the last word is, now go. Go out into the real world. Bring a spirit of love and joy and peace and patience, kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness. Bring that out there and I'll be with you. You'll never be alone. That's the king's first word. That's the king's last word. We got to get out more.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes from John. You can also visit our website, becomenew.com, to access all of our videos there, or subscribe for the emails that go with each video. But my personal favorite way to stay in the loop with Become New is by text. We will send you a text message every morning that we release a new video, with the title of that video and just the link to the video. So if you want that, you can text the word BECOME to the number 855-888-0444 and we'll get those messages to you. If you've got a prayer request, there's a group of us who meet each weekday, Monday through Friday, for 1 hour to pray for viewers just like yourself. So you can text or email us your prayer request at 855-888-0444 or at connect@becomenew.com. Remember, the most important thing about your life is the person you become. We'll see you next time.